Good morning. My name is Ray Souza, and I am one of the pastors here at Good News Church. And from time to time, I have an opportunity to share with you, and I love doing that. And specifically, we have been parked, so to speak, in the book of Philippians, a great book that talks about the joy of the Lord. And we just sang about the fact that there is joy in the house of the Lord. See, another thing why we came today, it's because there is joy in the house of the Lord. How many, you know, maybe got here a little sad, you know, burdensome with a busy week, but it's nice to come and be embraced and to sing together and to experience the joy that it's in the house of the Lord. We have been talking about how joy, it's a weapon in the Christian life, and we need to, you know, make sure that we are embracing that weapon and that we are using that weapon. Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. With so much like sadness around us, joy is a tool that we can use, right? The joy of the Lord with you know, so much fear, to give God an opportunity to replace fear with trusting Him and with His joy, boy, it's the purpose why we are here. So we have been diving in the book of Philippians. This, you know, letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, known as the Epistle of Joy, was a letter that Paul wrote from prison, emphasizing that true joy, it's a choice. And it's a choice that it's rooted in the person of Jesus Christ and not the circumstances. See, that's another thing that we need to hear. Right? Maybe you didn't experience any joy from the circumstances this week. And I'm sorry about that. And sometimes that's tough. But know that joy, it's a choice that can be found in the person of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you are enjoying, we are using the book by Warren Wiersbe, a great, great book. We are diving into during the week in the Midweek Connect, in the men's meeting. It's been really good. Drew has done a great job catching us up every single week. I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to jump right into our text today just because of the sake of time. But if you want to catch up, a refresher, you can go to our website. All the messages are there. Last week, I wasn't here. And on Monday, I heard the message. And actually, I was supposed to preach last week. And I told Drew, I think God really wanted you to preach that message because I needed to hear that message. And I was at home listening, and I knew, like, wow, this is for me. This is for me. So the message today, it's for all of us, right? And God has a purpose with His message, with His word. I love the fact that, you know, God's word has the power to transform our lives. God's word has the power to heal us, has the power to redirect us in life. So when we open up God's word, we give our total devotion, we give our attention. And that's what we're going to do right now. Philippians, we are in Philippians 3, 17 to 21, only 5 verses, but powerful, powerful verses. I'm going to read, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to go through the message today. So verse 17, it goes like this. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who lived like we do. For I have often told you before, and now I tell you again, even with tears, Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their own stomach. Their glory, it's in their shame. Their mind, it's set on earthly things. But, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your presence here with us today. Father, we love you. What would be of us without you, without the Savior, Jesus Christ, without the new life that we experience when we place our trust in Jesus? Father, what a difference would be to be living here on earth on these days without the joy, the comfort, the strength that can only be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Father, here we are. We open up your word and we ask your Holy Spirit to speak to us. Speak to us. Just bless us with your word. Give us understanding. Lord, if we need to make some changes because of what we are hearing from you, may we be encouraged enough to do it, obedient enough to do it. Father, have your way. It's our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. So verse 17, Paul, right from the beginning, he goes like, you know, you join me together in following my example, brothers and sisters. I mean, how many people you know that could say just like Paul, hey, you follow my example? How many people, right? It is a very, very bold statement. You know, he's like, follow me, pattern your lives after mine and those who follow my example. And we know that Paul, he's just not like boasting in himself. He's not being just proud here, arrogant, right? But we know that this is the guy that his life was transformed by Jesus Christ himself. This is a guy that, you know, humbled himself. He was humbled by God, but also he humbled himself before the mighty hand of God. This is a guy that openly confessed to us in the message last week. He said, you know, in Philippians 3:12, he said, I don't mean to say that I have achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. This is a guy that decided to lost everything for the sake of gaining Jesus Christ. This is the guy that it's saying like, hey, you follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. This boldness can only be achieved by one thing, following Jesus, right? Following Jesus. And you know, to the Corinthians, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he said, you know, you follow my example as I am following the example of Jesus Christ. So we know for a fact that our greatest example of all, it is Jesus Christ himself, but it is a fact as well that Jesus left us other great examples to follow. Paul was one of them. Timothy was one of them. Epaphroditus, that's that word again, was one of them, right? Not perfect people at all, but just people who followed Christ. Followed Christ. They were disciples of Jesus Christ. They were people who follow in Jesus' footsteps. Jesus actually chose them. Jesus actually trained them. Jesus, you know, prepared them. And they intentionally learned the Jesus' teachings. They intentionally became more like him in character, in thought, and in action. And Jesus sent them. Jesus sent them. We have that great word, you know, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, where it says, you know, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have commanded you. Think about that. In my own personal life, I am so thankful for the great examples that God gave me an opportunity to be in touch with and to follow for a season, for a period of life. I am so, so grateful that, you know, they challenged me to follow Christ as they were following Christ. Again, not because they were perfect people, but because they were followers of Christ people. And the reason why we need great examples, right? The reason why Jesus gave us great examples, besides, you know, being obedient to God's call, it's because it is a reality that we have so many bad examples. You don't have to look far to see all around examples that are not the one that we are being asked to follow. And you know, Paul, he says here in verse 18, he said this, "For I have told you often before, and I say again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross." It is a reality. It is a reality. They are bad examples. Instead of being, you know, embracing the cross, they are against. They are enemies of the cross. And here in particular, Paul, he doesn't say, but maybe he was talking about the Judaizers who are maybe like adding the law of Moses to the work of redemption of the cross in Jesus Christ. Or maybe, you know, they were like professed Christian teachers, just professed, but not really, who were like turning the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ into a license to sin. People who are using the grace of God as a pretext for sin. These were men that they were not spiritually minded like Paul, like Timothy, like Epaphroditus. They were earthly minded. They were holding to earthly things. They were holding to rituals, earthly rituals and beliefs that maybe God gave to Israel, and now they are opposing the heavenly blessings that the Christian has in Jesus Christ, in bringing back those rituals that pointed to Jesus Christ in the future. You know, the sad thing about these bad examples and the reason why Paul had to bring them up and in tears, you know, is that they were present in the church or very close to the church. They were not outsiders. They were insiders with a different perspective, with a different agenda. And Paul was like, watch for them. Pay attention to them. Because they are actually enemy of the cross. Paul, he was in tears, you know, because he knew that they were lost. And they were like going in the direction of destruction. Paul knew that what they were doing was causing the church great harm. And that's why he were in tears. They were enemy of the cross. But they were a very subtle, a very indirect enemy that were making the cross not a big deal, something of foolish. And Paul, he also wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul said this, you know, the message of the cross is foolish to whom? The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed to destructions, like these examples here. But we who are being saved know that that is the very power of God. Verse 22, he said, it is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven. It is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach Christ crucified, he said, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those who are called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, this message is the power of God. This message is the wisdom of God. And then Paul goes on to say, you know, in verse 19, about these false teachers, about these bad examples, you know, he go about to define them, to give some characteristics about them. You know, he said their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory, it's in their shame. And their mind is set on earthly things. So four characteristics here of these bad examples. They were lost spiritually, heading to destruction. Their priority was their own desire, were what makes them happy. It was their appetite. It was their feeling. I mean, it's something that can be distinguished, right? The glory was to them, not to God. They were not there to mirror and to give the glory to God. They were there to get their own glory. They were there being led not by the Holy Spirit, but by their own feelings, but their own desire. They were glorying in their shame, bragging and celebrating shameful things. And then Paul said, you know, they are not heavenly minded, like my follower Paul, like my follower Timothy, like my follower Epaphroditus, not my followers in the church that it's following me, Jesus Christ. So these are the bad examples here in Philippians chapter 3. But then Paul goes back to the good example. If there was a title, it was so hard. Drew, I don't know if you came up with the title for it. It was kind of hard, but I thought like maybe a good title would be like the joyful great example. To use the word joy, titles never work 100% when trying to give a title to a message. But so here he goes back to, you know, the joyful examples. They are worth following. And this is where me and you, you know, we jump in. We jump in. He says in verse 20, but we, in distinction to them, we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as a savior. Now, it's very interesting, this word translated citizenship. It is the same word, you know, in the English, translated to conversation. But also, believe me or not, it's the same word translated to politics. So we could read this verse here in Philippians 3:20, but our politics are in heaven. Our conversations are in heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and where we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our saviors. Now, you know, when it comes to politics, when it comes to conversation and citizenship in this word, Paul is talking about, you know, one's behavior as a citizen of a nation. Paul was encouraging the believers here in Philippi to have the spiritual mind as he was having as he followed Christ. And he did this by pointing them to the fact that we, as Christians, we are citizens from another nation. And the example here is so beautiful because, you know, this church in Philippi was a colony of Rome on foreign soil. So is the church, a colony of heaven here on earth. Think about that. You know, the people in Philippi, they had the privileges of being part of Rome. But here we are, the people of God. We live here on this earth. We live here on this nation. But we are privileged people because we belong to a different nation, the heavenly nation. We are citizens of heaven. We are citizens from above. You know, when a baby was born in Philippi, you know, one of the first things that mom and dad did was to register them as, you know, citizens of Rome because of the privileges that they had. And the same happened to us as believers. The day that we decided to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the day that we understood that, you know, we need salvation from Him, the day that we understood and we reach out by faith, we said, Jesus, I need you in my life. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, save me. That day, something amazing happened. Our names were literally written in the book of life. Our records were placed. You know, here we are on earth. Here we are in the USA. I was in Brazil. But that day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, my name was written. And I became a citizen of heaven in the kingdom of God. And that is a beautiful thing. You know, when we confess Christ here on earth, He confesses us before God in heaven. Now, think about this, you know, citizenship is such a big deal in our days, isn't it? Such a big deal. Never before this topic was so hot, you know, in our country and the world in reality. But this morning, I wanted to say to you and me, that citizenship in heaven should be something even more prioritized by us as the people of God. Understanding what it is. Understanding that we are part of a heavenly nation. Even though we are here in this colony called Earth, as a believer, we are a citizen of heaven. And as a citizen of heaven, it is so important for us to speak heaven's language. So, so important. Those bad example who were like earthly minds, when they talk about something that were in their hearts. Their hearts revealed who they were, right? And it's the same thing. It should be the same thing about us. When we open up our hearts, when we talk, what should come by God's grace? It's something that it's from above. And God wants me and you to live by example, to be heavenly minded, so that what comes from our mouth also reveals what it is in our hearts. And hopefully, it's Christ. Hopefully, it is the love of Christ. Hopefully, it is forgiveness. Hopefully, it is the good news that has the potential to change someone's life, like Paul's life was changed, like Timothy's life was changed, like Epaphroditus' life was changed, like your life and my life were changed by Jesus Christ. And now we became, you know, we were promoted. We got this new citizenship. We have our citizenship in heaven. We have a Savior there preparing a place for us, and He's gonna come back, and He wants us to be excited about that. He wants us to believe and hold this truth dear to our hearts that, you know, this earth and the years that we spend here, it's not the end for the Christian, for the believer, that God has a much bigger plan, that it has eternity as part of it. And that is a beautiful thing. Do you know what? I was just thinking about myself in the heat of the days that we are in. The moment that I don't think with God about the things that it's going on here in these days, it is the moments that I got very depressed. It is the moments that I get very, very confused. It is the moment when, like, worry, like, you know, flood my heart and flood my soul. But you know what? The moment that I let the Lord turn my face to Jesus, turn my heart to God's word, that's when I started receiving some comfort. That's when I am reminded of the promise. That's when I am challenged that I'm not, you know, another one from, you know, this world. We are, as Drew read here in the verse before, we are foreigners. You know, we are aliens in this world. We are part of the nation of heaven from where we wait our Savior. There is no wonder that, you know, we are called to be the salt of the earth. We are called to be the light of the world. Through Jesus Christ, we know for sure. But people, you know, it makes a big difference when me and you, and we are here with a purpose. You know, things could be really dark if the light of Jesus doesn't shine in this world. You know, people will be without hope if the hope of Christ is not pronunciated. If the hope in Christ is not, like, shared with people, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's why we are here. You know, when they are picturing us, this doom and this bad and dark picture, we are here to turn our eyes and turn our hearts to heaven above, to the scriptures, and to get something that can give us hope, that can bring our hearts to a place where it should be. This is the truth, but nothing it is. It is so much better to think with God about everything that is going on in the world, because there is hope there. Without, when you look to a person, when you look to a nation, you know, we need to look to Jesus, our Savior. We need to be thinking with God. We need to have our mind set on things above and not earthly things. And it is so easy, so easy. I need to check my heart every single day. You hear the news, you hear what so-and-so said, and you go like, what? What's going on? And you know, floods of, like, fear, floods of, like, bad thoughts, floods of, like, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? Where we should remember the fact that God has a plan, and He will do it. He will execute, as He has already executed from the beginning of the earth. You know, God has done so much. God has been faithful to His promises so much. Is He not going to be like God and fulfill the rest of His promises? He will. He will. I still believe in a God that has this whole world in the palm of His hands. It's not just a song for little kids. It's something that we rest our hearts. That God knows everything. He is not in heaven and looking down and going like, oh my gosh, look what's going on earth. No. As hard as it seems for us to think, He still have the control of everything. So just like the citizens of Philippi that were governed by the law of Rome and not the law of Macedonia, you know, we, the Christians, yeah, we obey and we follow our laws here, but boy, we are in our minds, we are in our hearts, connected and governed by a higher law that directs and informs our thinking, our actions, and our behavior. A law from above in the people of God that when they open their mouth and when they open their hearts, something comes out that it's like puzzling. It is something from God that has the potential to give people hope. Paul was governed by heaven's law, and that made a difference in his life and made a difference in the people around him. And God is calling each one of us in the same way to be heavenly citizens with heavenly conversations. And guess what? Heavenly politics. Hey, the politics of heaven, it's way better than the politics down here. There is no comparison. And I'd rather be thinking with the Lord. And I'd rather be waiting for the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings that promise us that one day He is the one that will be fixing up everything. He is the one that will take everything under His control. And we believe that and we trust that. And just to finish, on the last verse, verse 21 of Philippians 3, it says this, and He will take this weak mortal bodies. Me and you, we have one of those. And He will change into glorious body like His own, using the same power in which He will bring everything under His control. What a great promise. What a great promise. Hey, if you are getting old like me and things doesn't work the way that used to work before, be encouraged that you are going to get a new body. Be encouraged that, you know, being put on earth after you die, it's not the end for the believer. There is a promise that He will take us up and He will give us a body just like the body of His Son. If Jesus was resurrected, and He was, we have witness. He said that He will give us a body just like the one that our Savior had. And that is a great promise. You know, we have a great future as a citizen of heaven. You know, differently than those who live for their appetite, whose end is destruction. You know, there is a great eternal future for the believer, and they are eagerly, they are anticipating in their hearts. They are waiting for that to take place, the return of their Savior. They are not just wasting their time here in this world. They are not like, you know, just like, I don't care about anything else. No, they are taking advantage and they are like pointing others to the great hope in Jesus Christ. They are taking advantage and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. They are taking advantage and say, yes, I agree with you. Things look like, you know, crazy and dark, but you know what? There is hope in the one who created you. In the one that put us all here. There is a hope in him. Can I share that with you? Worsby, he said in the book, he said, you know, there is tremendous energy in the present power of a future hope. There is tremendous energy in the present power of a future hope. Remember Abraham? Abraham, from the beginning, he was already looking for a city that was to come. And because of that, he didn't care to live in a tent. Moses, right from the beginning, he was looking for the rewards of heaven. And because of that, he was willing to forsake the treasures of this earth. Our Savior Jesus Christ, because of the joy that was set before him, he was willing to endure the cross. The fact that heaven is real, and it is. The fact that Jesus is returning, and he will. It should be a powerful motive for us, the believer, to be dedicated here, to be devoted to service of Jesus Christ here on earth. You know, I love to think that heaven, it's more than just a destination that we all gonna go because we believe in Jesus Christ. But heaven should be our greatest motivation. Motivation. And just sharing what with other people about that as well. Don't be discouraged when this world doesn't seem so homey. It's never gonna be. Never gonna be. Be reminded that you are in a foreign land, that your Lord is one day going to be returned. Be a spiritual mind. Be on the lookout and anticipate the blessings of the world to come. Let's not ignore our responsibilities and our obligations here on earth, but let's do them governed by a different set of laws, that it's informing us, that it's like, you know, transforming our thoughts, modifying our behaviors. It's the law of Jesus Christ. What a great future we have. What a great final destination. Let's know and bring close to our hearts the promises that we have in Jesus. Let's fill our hearts with the expectation that he is coming and that he is going to give us a glorified body, like the body of Jesus Christ. Let's live our life in the future tense, as Worsby titled this part of the book. But also, let's be part of those great examples. Let's be part of those disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's keep on going. Let's keep on baptizing them. Let's keep on teaching them and know that the one who said that he will come, and with him is the reward. And to finish, let's know for a fact that when he returns, he will, as he said here in Philippians 3:21, that he will subdue all things to himself. He will be the only one to fix everything. He will be the only one to establish justice forever, to finally bring everything under his control. And that will happen just like the cross happened, just like the resurrection happened. You know, the return of Jesus Christ will surely happen. And me and you, and many, and some that we have the opportunity to share with, will be enjoying that eternally. And that, I don't know about you, it is very, very good news for us today. Let's be those great citizens on heaven, here in this colony that we are today, called the United States of America. Let's be heavenly minded, and let's be used by our Lords in the capacity and the opportunities that He gives to us daily. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh Lord, how much I need this message. Every time I turn the TV, every time I read some news, every time I am in a conversation, oh Lord, how much we need to have our thoughts and our hearts where it should be. Father, how much we need of your Holy Spirit to guide us. How much we need of your word and the promises that we have in your word. Lord, we need you. Oh, Lord, we need you. And maybe you are here today, and maybe you heard about names being written in the book of heaven, being a citizen of heaven. And maybe you don't know if you are one, but you can be sure if you want to. You can place your trust in Jesus. You can open up your heart even today and say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I need you as my Savior. I want to be able to be thinking with you so that I can have hope in you, joy in you. Hey, if you are here and you never receive Jesus to have your name be written in the book of life, just where you are, you can just say right now with your friend Ray, Jesus, here I am. And that's what I want for my life. I want you, Jesus, as my Savior. I open up my heart to you. Come to live in my heart. Give me this new life. Help me to think with you. Jesus, write my name in the book of life. I want to be a citizen of heaven. Hey, if you pray that prayer with me after the service, maybe let me know. I would love to hear that you pray this prayer in your heart. Maybe you can tell Drew or tell somebody that invites you here. And for all of us, Lord, help us, help us, help us to be good citizens of heaven. Help us, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the strength that comes from your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray this prayer and we present ourselves to you today, Lord. Have your way. Use us. Keep on using us for your glory, for your sake, as salt of the earth and light in this world of yours. It is in Jesus' name that we pray and thank you. Amen, amen, and amen.